Usually when you rent an apartment, there's this underlying understanding about the front door key. Like you hold a copy, sure, but the property manager definitely has a master key sitting in a lockbox somewhere in their office.
Right, which you just kind of accept.
Yeah, you accept it because, well, it's their building. But then you look at your digital life, your banking password resets, your private conversations, your medical communications, just your entire online identity.
Oh, absolutely.
All of it is locked behind an email address. That inbox is essentially your digital front door. And yet, almost all of us are just renting that space from a massive tech giant.
We're using their building.
Exactly. We're using their building, which means they hold the master key. So today we're figuring out how to take the key back. We are jumping into a wildly popular open source project called Docker Mail Server, or DMS for short.
It's a fantastic project.
It really is. And our mission for this deep dive is taking what's historically been one of the most intimidating, just frustrating projects in the IT world, which is running your own secure email server, and exploring how this project breaks it down into an accessible, containerized system for you.
And, before we get into the exact mechanics of how this software actually pulls that off, we should really mention the supporter of today's deep dive, which is SafeServer. Because this whole idea of owning your infrastructure, it isn't just some, I don't know, philosophical talking point for weekend tinkerers.
Oh, definitely not.
Right. For a lot of organizations, it's a strict legal operational requirement. I mean, Docker Mail Server acts as a highly capable open source replacement for proprietary tools. Think of things like Microsoft Exchange or Google Workspace.
Which is huge.
Yeah. And that matters immensely when you're dealing with strict regulatory compliance, like email retention, financial records, or audit trails.
Right, because if you're handling financial records or dealing with strict data protection laws, data sovereignty becomes absolutely paramount. I mean, you can't just hand your corporate data over to a third-party cloud provider and, cross your fingers that they don't change their terms of service or get breached.
Exactly. You need to know exactly where that data lives, which is where SafeServer comes into play.
Yeah.
They handle the hosting of this exact software on highly secure German servers, which guarantees that strict data sovereignty.
That's a massive relief for businesses.
It really is. They advise organizations on the implementation and can actually be commissioned for consulting on this specific Docker Mail Server solution, as well as, comparable alternatives. It's basically about getting all the benefits of open source independence without the operational headache of maintaining the infrastructure yourself.
Which is always the dream, right?
Absolutely. And you can find more information on how they help organizations secure their data at safeserver.de.
And, that operational headache you just mentioned is the perfect springboard into our sources today, because the desire for independent email has always been there. It's the execution that usually makes IT professionals wake up in a cold sweat.
Oh, for sure. The configuration alone is a nightmare.
Yeah. Okay, let's unpack this. Historically, building a mail server wasn't like buying a car. It was like buying a transmission from one factory, a steering column from another, and somehow trying to weld them together on your driveway without the whole thing exploding on the highway.
That is a very accurate, albeit terrifying, mental image.
Right. You were compiling software from source, fighting dependency hell on your Linux box. So is Docker Mail Server essentially a prefabricated shipping container where all that machinery is already bolted to the floor and wired together for you?
What's fascinating here is how well that shipping container analogy captures the sheer architectural elegance of this project. Yes, the developers explicitly designed DMS to be a production-ready, full-stack, but simple mail server that runs entirely inside a Docker container.
So it's all just self-contained.
Exactly. In the past, if you wanted to build an email server, you were installing a dozen different heavily integrated services directly onto your host operating system. And if, say, one library updated and broke compatibility with another,
boom, your email went down.
By isolating everything inside a containerized environment, the developers have pre-configured all those moving parts to work together flawlessly. You just download the container image, provide a few environmental variables, and boot it up.
That sounds almost too easy.
Well, the core philosophy driving this entire project is explicitly spelled out in their documentation. They just say, keep it simple and versioned.
Keep it simple and versioned. Which, sounds fantastic on a bumper sticker, but how does that actually manifest in the architecture? Because email is inherently complex.
It manifests through a rather radical design choice that genuinely sets DMS apart from heavier enterprise solutions.
Yeah.
The sources highlight that Docker Mail Server uses absolutely zero SQL databases, like None.
Wait, hold on. Let me challenge that. No database at all. But I mean, if I'm running an organization with, say, hundreds or thousands of users, lots of aliases, complex routing rules, text files are inherently slow to search, right? Doesn't parsing plain text files to figure out where an email goes create a massive bottleneck compared to a perfectly indexed SQL database?
Yeah, that's a great technical pushback, and it's exactly what a system admin would worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But the developers thought of that. The source of truth for your configuration, so the user accounts, the domain aliases, those are plain text files.
Okay.
But when the container boots up, services like PostFix don't just awkwardly scan those text files line by line for every incoming email. PostFix actually compiles those plain text configurations into highly optimized binary hash maps.
Oh, like BerkeleyDB files.
Exactly like that. In memory, for lightning fast lookups.
Ah, okay. So you get the speed of an index, but the stability of a text file.
Precisely. And from a system administration standpoint, relying on text files as the source of truth is a massive relief. SQL databases introduce a whole new layer of stateful fragility.
Oh, tell me about it. They get corrupted if you look at them wrong.
Right. They can become corrupted during a sudden power loss. They require specialized backup routines. And, you know, upgrading them can break your system if the database schemas don't perfectly match the new software version.
That makes total sense.
By using only configuration files, DMS makes deploying, backing up, and migrating incredibly straightforward.
Hmm.
If your server hardware physically catches fire, you just copy your folder of text files to a new machine, pull the Docker container, and you're instantly back online. There's no complex database restoration or schema migration to sweat over.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though. If we're relying on a bunch of simple text files running in an ephemeral container, are we sacrificing the heavy-hitting security features?
Not at all.
Because when the documentation calls this a full-stack mail server, what exactly makes it full-stack? Honestly, sometimes simple is just polite marketing speak for underpowered.
It's a natural assumption. But underpowered is the absolute last word you'd use once you look under the hood. The sheer volume of enterprise-grade tools packed into this single container is staggering.
Okay, so what's in the box?
Well, the real magic isn't just that they're included. It's that you don't have to manually wire them together. Let's break down the stack. First, you have the core foundation. PostFix handles the SMTP side sober, talking to other servers and sending mail out.
Got it.
And Dovecot handles IMP and POP3, which is how your phone or desktop mail client authenticates and actually reads the messages. But assuming our listeners are somewhat familiar with those core delivery agents, the real conversation is about the security perimeter.
Right, because standing up an SMTP server on the open internet today is basically inviting a siege. It's not just about receiving mail, it's about fighting off a relentless barrage of malicious actors, botnets, and spam campaigns.
Exactly. And that's where the anti-spam and antivirus suite inside DMS shines. You have RSpammed and Amavis acting as the primary filters, analyzing the headers and content of incoming traffic. You have Spam Assassin running alongside them.
That's a lot of filtering.
It is. And crucially, you have ClamAV, which is a robust, open-source antivirus engine integrated directly into the mail flow to scan attachments for malware before they ever reach a user's inbox.
But wait, how does an antivirus scanner work effectively inside a Docker container? Containers are supposed to be ephemeral. If the container restarts, doesn't ClamAV lose all its downloaded virus definitions and have to start from scratch?
That's where Docker volumes come in. The documentation specifically instructs you to map persistent storage volumes from your host machine into the container.
Ah, okay, so the data lives outside the container.
Exactly. So FreshClam, which is the updater service, downloads the latest virus signatures and saves them to that persistent volume. When the container restarts, or even if you upgrade the entire Docker mail server image to a newer version, ClamAV just checks the volume, sees the updated definitions, and picks up exactly where it left off.
That's incredibly elegant. But filtering incoming junk is only half the battle, right? Because if you're hosting an email server for a business, your biggest nightmare isn't receiving spam. It's being marked as spam by the big players like Gmail or Yahoo. You have to prove your server is legitimate.
And DMS automates the cryptographic heavy lifting to prove your legitimacy. The container comes pre-wired with OpenDKIM and OpenDMR.
Let's break that down a bit for the listener, because DKIM and DMRC are the acronyms that usually make people give up on self-hosting entirely. DKIM is essentially a cryptographic wax seal, right?
That is a perfect way to visualize it. When you send an email, DMS uses a private key to mathematically sign the headers of your message. That's the wax seal. You then publish the corresponding public key in your domain's DNS records.
So anyone can check the seal.
Right. When Gmail receives your message, it looks up your DNS, grabs the public key, and verifies the signature. If it matches, Gmail knows the email genuinely originated from your server and wasn't spoofed by a spammer. DMRC is simply the policy record that tells Gmail what to do if that signature fails. Like, hey, if the seal is broken, throw this email in the spam folder.
And the brilliance here is that Docker Mail Server actually generates those cryptographic keys for you, right? You don't have to figure out the math.
Yes. You run a simple command, and the container generates the private key, stores it securely, and spits out the exact public key string you need to copy and paste into your DNS provider.
Wow.
It takes a process that used to require reading 3 different cryptography manuals and turns it into a one-line command. Add to that the built-in support for Let's Encrypt, which automatically provisions and renews free SSL certificates so your IMA connections are encrypted, and tools like Fail2Ban.
Oh, I love Fail2Ban. The way it's integrated here is just so smart. If a botnet is trying to brute force a user's password, Dovecot logs the failed login attempt. Fail2Ban is sitting there, tailing that exact log file inside the container.
Always watching.
Always watching. It spots the repeated failures, instantly communicates with the host's firewall rules, and drops the attacker's IP address entirely. It's automated self-defense.
And that's the full stack promise. You aren't manually writing the regular expressions to make Fail2Ban understand Dovecot's specific log format. The Docker Mail Server maintainers have already written and tested all of that glue logic for you.
So what does this all mean for the person who actually wants to deploy this? We've just fired off a massive list of technologies. Postfix, Dovecot, Spam Assassin, ClamMA, OpenDKIM, Let's Encrypt.
It is a lot of acronyms.
It is. Even with the container doing the heavy lifting, it's easy to hear that list and feel that old intimidation creeping right back in. How does someone interact with this beast without getting crushed by the complexity?
This raises an important question. Because a complex tool with a terrible user interface is practically useless.
Huh?
The developers understood that, which is why they created a dedicated command line interface tool, prominently featured in their documentation. It's a setup script, simply named setup.esh.
So this script is how you actually drive the server.
Exactly. You don't have to SSH into the container and use a text editor to manually hack away at those 50 different text files to add a new employee's email address.
Oh, thank goodness.
Wait, you just run .--setup.eshi email add user at example.com, type in a password, and the script safely injects the correct hash configuration into the underlying text files for you.
That's so clean.
It handles creating aliases, generating those DKIM keys we talked about, configuring quotas, managing user access. It acts as an abstraction layer, so you can focus on managing your organization rather than remembering postfix syntax.
That's brilliant. It lowers the barrier to entry significantly. But I imagine, even with a helper script and pre-configured containers, things still go wrong. What's the biggest trap users fall into when they start spinning this up?
The documentation actually includes a very bold, explicit warning about this exact trap. The absolute most common mistake is a version mismatch between the software and the manual. Because Docker Mail Server is actively developed and constantly patching new security threats, there are many different versions of the software out there.
Right, because in the Docker world, if you just pull the image, you're usually pulling the latest tag by default.
Precisely. And if you're pulling the latest bleeding edge image, but you accidentally stumbled onto a tutorial or documentation page for version 11 from 2 years ago, things are going to break.
Because the commands have moved on.
Commands will have changed, configuration variables will be deprecated, and you'll end up incredibly frustrated. The maintainers fiercely warn users to ensure the version of the documentation they're reading perfectly matches the semantic version of the Docker image they've actually deployed.
And I saw in the sources that they're pretty strict about community boundaries and how you ask for help, too.
Yes, and rightfully so. The documentation explicitly states the issue tracker is for issues, not for personal support. You have to remember the context here. This is an open source project.
These are volunteers.
Highly skilled engineers doing this voluntarily in their free time. They want to track reproducible bugs in the code base, not troubleshoot a typo in one individual user's DNS record. So checking the FAQ, reading the correct version of the manual, and verifying your own configuration are mandatory steps before opening a ticket.
Respect the volunteer's time. If you want enterprise handholding, you pay an enterprise consultant. You don't spam a GitHub repository. Okay, so the setup.sh script gets you in the door and handles the day-to-day. But what if I'm a power user?
Okay, now we're talking.
What if my organization has a highly specific edge case? Think of it like a kitchen. The container is a fully prepped commercial kitchen, which is great. But what if I need to swap out an ingredient in the recipe before the head chef starts cooking? Does a rigid container lock me out of making advanced foundational changes?
If we connect this to the bigger picture of how Docker fundamentally works, the answer is a resounding no. The developers built in a wonderfully elegant mechanism to intercept that boot process for custom renovations. It's a script called userpatches.esh.
How does that work in practice, though? How do you patch a container that basically rebuilds itself from scratch every time it starts?
It's all about the execution entry point. When a Docker container starts, it doesn't just instantly launch all the mail services at once. It runs an initialization script first.
Okay, makes sense.
The DMS initialization process is designed to look inside a specific configuration directory that you, the host, control. If it finds a bash script named user-DoorDash sitting there, the container pauses its normal boot sequence, executes your custom script, and then hands control over to the main supervisor daemon to launch PostFix and Dovecot.
Oh, that's incredibly powerful. It's literally a sous chef intercepting the recipe. Because that script runs before the services start, you can use basic Linux commands to rewrite configuration files on the fly, right?
Exactly. You can use it to inject a highly specific custom spam scoring rule into Spam Assassin. You can use it to alter a low-level routing protocol in PostFix. You can even use it to apt-get install an extra Linux package you might need for monitoring that isn't included in the base image.
That is wild.
It gives you the total, unrestrained freedom of a custom-built bare metal server, but applied cleanly and automatically on top of their stable foundation every single time the container boots.
It's a brilliant architectural choice because it means the software scales seamlessly with your expertise. When you're a beginner, you rely entirely on the setup.esh script to keep you safe. When you become a system admin power user, that user-patches.esh hook is waiting there to give you absolute control.
It grows with you.
Exactly. And speaking of the people architecting these clever solutions, we really need to highlight who is actually building and maintaining this infrastructure. Because relying on a single developer for something as mission critical as your organization's email is deeply terrifying.
Oh, without a doubt.
What happens if they get bored, get a new job, and just abandon the project?
That's the beauty of how this specific project has matured. The sources note that it was originally created by a single user named Tameev. But since January 2021, the original creator stepped back, and it's been maintained entirely by a dedicated, organized group of volunteers.
So it survived the transition.
And it hasn't just survived it. It's grown into an absolute juggernaut in the open source ecosystem. It currently boasts over 17,700 stars on GitHub.
Almost 18,000 stars for a mail server project. I mean, that's not just a niche hobbyist tool. That is a massive flashing indicator of trust and enterprise adoption.
Absolutely. It proves a massive pent-up demand for data sovereignty. And it's not just a few people maintaining it. There are over 300 individual contributors who have submitted code, refined the security protocols, and updated the documentation.
That's a real community.
It is. Yeah. And because email is so complex, they enforce stability using extensive automated test suites via GitHub Actions. Every time someone submits a change to the code, automated systems spin up test containers, send test emails, verify cryptographic signatures, and ensure that the new code doesn't break any existing features before it's ever merged into the project.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a living, breathing ecosystem with enterprise-grade quality control, maintained by a community that genuinely cares about privacy.
It really is incredible what a community can build when they rally around a shared architectural problem. Which, you know, brings us to a broader, arguably more critical realization about why projects like this matter. We started this deep dive talking about taking back the keys to your digital front door. But there's an even bigger picture here. Think about the fundamental architecture of the internet. Email was designed to be decentralized, right? A federated network where anyone could talk to anyone, anywhere, on equal footing.
But over the last decade, we've allowed that federated network to consolidate into essentially three massive tech monopolies.
Right. If almost every email sent globally is just bouncing between servers owned by Microsoft, Google, and Apple, it's no longer a decentralized protocol, it's an oligopoly.
Exactly. And that consolidation creates a single terrifying point of failure for global communication, for privacy, and for corporate security. By using open source tools to run your own infrastructure, you aren't just protecting your own data. You're actively participating in keeping the internet federated, resilient, and independent.
It's a quiet, incredibly powerful act of technological rebellion.
It really is a profound shift in perspective. You're moving from being a passive tenant on the internet to an active owner of your own infrastructure, contributing to the health of the decentralized web.
And for organizations looking to make that exact shift, this brings us right back to the supporter of today's deep dive, SafeServer. We've spent this time unpacking the immense technical power of Docker Mail Server, how it orchestrates complex anti-spam protocols, integrates DMRC cryptography effortlessly, and gives you ultimate control over your routing. But what do organizations, whether they're businesses, legal associations, or healthcare groups, actually gain by switching to this specific open source solution?
They gain absolute, uncompromising data sovereignty. By moving away from proprietary tech giants, an organization gains the ability to state unequivocally exactly where their data physically resides and who has the legal authority to access it. There's no ambiguity about international data transfers or shifting privacy policies.
But the reality is, running it yourself is daunting. Why does professionally managed hosting make so much more sense than self-operation for these groups? Because even with the brilliance of Docker and automated scripts, ensuring that your server's IP address maintains a pristine reputation, avoiding spam blacklists, and keeping ClamAV and PostFix running flawlessly 24/7 without becoming a daily operational nightmare, it still requires dedicated expertise.
Exactly. And that is precisely the burden SafeServer removes. They host this powerful open source software on highly secure, compliant German servers. They handle the complex deployment, the network security, and the ongoing maintenance.
So you don't have to worry about the infrastructure at all.
Right. They ensure that your organization reaps every single benefit of open source independence, privacy, and compliance without the stress of managing the underlying container infrastructure.
SafeServer is available right now for consulting on Docker Mail Server and similar powerful open source alternatives tailored to your organization's specific needs. You can find out exactly how they can help you reclaim your digital sovereignty by visiting safeserver.de. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you walk away seeing your email infrastructure and the federated potential of the internet in a whole new light. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and we'll see you next time.